This is the NBC Theater. From the NBC Theater in Hollywood, an hour-length drama based on Arnold Bennett's definitive novel of hotel life, Imperial Palace. The adaptation is by Clarice A. Ross of NBC. And at intermission, you will hear a transcribed commentary on the writings of Arnold Bennett by a distinguished fellow countryman, the author of Lost Horizon and Goodbye, Mr. Chips, James Hilton. Here now, Imperial Palace by Arnold Bennett.
Mr. Ortram's office? He's conferring with Mr. Rufo in the banqueting department. I can't reach him now. Mr. Ortram's office? Well, don't bother me with it. Call the works department. Mr. Ortram's office? Yes? Oh, please get in touch with Mr. Emerson. He handles all the Imperial Palace press relations. Mr. Ortram's office? Who? No, I'm sorry. He can't see you today. No, he has his conference with the department heads in half an hour, and then he'll be tied up the rest of the day. Will you call tomorrow? Thank you.
Anything new, Miss Gasp?
Oh, nothing important, Mr. Ortram. I put some cables on your desk. The Rajah asked if he and his party could be moved to 8th. Mr. Cousin took care of it.
Oh, what was wrong with 4th?
His wife likes riding in the lift. Oh, yes, and North Atlantic steamship called. The Caractacus will be late docking at Southampton. Sometime after midnight, they think.
And Sir Henry Sabot got rooms reserved. Well, that means he'll be getting here about 4 in the morning.
Yes, sir.
Well, I can't be awake to meet him. Since he wants to see me on business, I can hardly let him think he's up earlier in the morning than I am. Now, will you tell Perkin those dress shirts of Lord Levering's have got to be back from the laundry tonight and get out last week's averages from the restaurant and tell Wyatt in engineering that I'd like to see him take the cable.
Good morning, Mr. Craddock. You're early this morning.
4:15. Mr. Ortram come down?
I haven't seen him about yet, Mr. Craddock.
I say, Mullen.
Yes, Ryan, what is it?
Who's that chap? I've seen him about several mornings.
Who, that? Don't you know? Oh, you've only been night reception clerk for a couple of weeks, haven't you? That's Craddock, the hotel's meat buyer. Mr. Ortram goes to Smithfield Market with him every morning.
Mr. Ortram goes to buy the meat?
Meat's important. Everything's important in the Imperial Palace. I've heard Planky, the head chef, say he'd lose his job if Mr. Ortram caught him with less than 3 tons of meat on hand.
Whew, 3 tons?
What would you want? Ain't the palace the greatest hotel on earth? It's got to be everything of the best here. Mr. Ortram made it this way, and he sees to it that it stays this way.
Quite a man, Mr. Ortram.
Quite a man. Knows what he wants, and he gets it. He's his own man, Mr. Ortram is. Hello, someone's come. Better get to my door. Oh, good morning, Mr. Ortram.
Oh, good morning, Molum. Good morning, Raya. Anything new during the night?
No, sir. A lady room left 371 at 3:30.
Oh, 371? That's the Australian banker. And she stayed until 3:30. These colonials are so fascinating. Oh, what's the excitement outside?
Guests arriving, sir. Molum's gone out to see them.
Oh, yes, I think I'm expecting this party.
All right, my man. See to the luggage, will you? And where's Mr. Ortram?
Good morning, Sir Henry. At your service.
Oh, good morning, Ortram. I hope you haven't got up at this hour especially to meet me.
Not at all. You've come on the Caractacus?
Yes. My daughter's driven me up from Southampton. The devil's own driver she is, too, especially at night. Here she is. Oh, Gracie.
Not on your way to sleep yet, Daddy.
In a moment, Gracie. This is my friend, Mr. Ortram, the king of the hotel world.
Pleasure, Miss Savitt.
Oh, I do hope you haven't got up especially to meet us.
Oh, not at all. The fact is that I got up to go with my meat buyer to Smithfield Market.
Well, we shan't keep you. I'm going to bed. Come along, Gracie. It's a pleasure to see you again, Ortram.
Daddy can sleep any time and place he wishes. I never can.
Oh, it's a very useful gift, but you must be tired too, Miss Savitt.
Oh, no, not really. Mr. Ortram, will you do something for me?
If I can.
You know, I've always been dying to see Smithfield Market in the early morning. Will you take me with you?
To Smithfield?
Oh, I won't be in the way. I'll be as small as a mouse.
Well, of course. That is, if you like. The market is really very interesting.
Oh, good. Come along. My car's just outside.
But my meat bar's here waiting for me.
Well, I'll drive you both in. Come along.
Well, I never did see the beat of that young lady.
His own man, Mr. Orchard, as you said, Marlon. His own man, I think you said.
This is a very distressing business, cousin. Raya didn't have it in the night report.
I imagine Raya didn't wish to be the bearer of bad tidings, Mr. Rogem.
I think the woman was drunk.
Well, we're not sure. In any case, she insisted she had left a mink fur in the cloakroom.
Well, buy her one. The customer is always right.
Miss Brewery, who dealt with her, became hysterical. Now she's given notice of leaving.
Oh, that's more serious. That leaves us short of one housekeeper.
Excuse me, Mr. Orchard.
Yes, Miss Cass?
Sir Henry Sabbat has sent a message, sir. He urgently wishes to see you today.
Ah, Sir Henry is in haste.
He is, cousin. Please tell Sir Henry, Miss Cass, that I unfortunately have appointments all day and don't say anything about a future date. Won't hurt to keep him waiting, will it, cousin?
In my opinion, no.
And now let's consider this matter of finding a new housekeeper.
What are you going to do tonight, Daddy?
I'm going to bed, Gracie. You know I never do anything the first day anywhere.
I was thinking about Mr. Orchard.
I'm waiting to hear from him.
He's been out of the hotel all day.
How the devil did you know?
I asked.
You seem interested.
He took me to Smithfield Market this morning, after you went to bed.
He asked you?
No, I asked him, and it was wonderful.
Well, I hope he didn't think that I'd put you up to it.
Oh, how could he? You know, darling, I did think you might invite him to dinner tonight.
In his own hotel? I will not. I'm trying to buy this hotel, Gracie, and the last thing I want is for Orchard to think I am running after him.
And then you go to bed, dear. I'll ask him.
Well, he won't accept.
We'll see.
Oh, now, Gracie, I don't think that's desirable.
I am going to ask him.
Oh, all right. Ask him for both of us. 9 o'clock. 10 to 1 he won't come. Seem to have quite a crowd tonight, Austin.
We do very well with our restaurant, Sir Henry.
And you have entertainment now, I notice, on this card. Does that run into money?
People seem to want it. Yes, it runs us about £1,200 a week.
As much as that, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, by Jove, there's Lord Watlington over there. The very man I want to see.
Oh, why don't you go over, Daddy?
I think I'd better. Excuse me, Archie.
Oh, certainly,
one second.
Lord Watlington hasn't had a dinner party here in some time.
Aren't you going to ask me to dance?
In the middle of dinner.
Oh, why not? Are you afraid of being seen with a young lady on your own dance floor?
Absolutely not. Well, you see, the fact is, I don't dance.
Oh, I see. You don't dance. Tell me, why do you have American dance bands here?
Because they're the best. We have only the best.
Well, I always thought it was a question of fashion.
Miss Gracie, the Imperial Palace makes the fashion.
Oh. Here's Daddy.
Fine fellow, Lord Watlington. Excuse me, I trust I wasn't too long.
No, not at all, Daddy. Mr. Orchard and I are just going to have one dance.
Oh.
You get on with your trout, darling.
Miss Sabbath, I said
yes,
I did not...
Yes, Mr. Orchard?
Nothing. I should be honored if you would allow me this dance. You are in. Delighted to see you, Miss Gracie.
Why did you run away so early?
It's nearly midnight and I'm a working man. How did you find my office?
I asked. I've met some friends and I'm going to have a little party upstairs right now. And I want you to come.
Oh, I can't possibly.
Well, why ever not?
Well, I told you, I'm a working man.
You're not working now. And I promised everybody you'd be there.
Oh, you shouldn't have done that. But anyone as beautiful as you are has the right to break any promise.
You're being rather unkind, you know. Oh, come now, you won't leave me in a hole, will you?
Oh, yes, I shall. You know, I can't make out why you want me to come.
Of course you can't. That's why you're such a dear. I want you to come because... Well, I think you're wonderful.
Not a bit wonderful.
Well, I say you are. And I'm dying to have you at my party.
Well, I hope you won't die. Honestly, I can't come.
You're behaving just as you did when we danced.
Oh? How is that?
Oh, you held me a foot away from you. And you're doing the same thing now, aren't you? You're holding me off.
Oh, now, really, Miss
Sarah? Oh, yes, you are. I'm more frank than you like, and you're afraid of me.
Well, then, I must ask you to forgive me.
You've been very patient with me. Good night, Mr. Orchard.
I will see you to the lift, Miss Savitt.
Don't you dare. I don't want any more of your politeness after this. I think you're a perfect beast.
I do wish, Mrs. O'Redden, that you would just speak to this girl, Violet Powler.
Well, of course, Mr. Ortram, if you want her for housekeeper...
Oh, my dear Mrs. O'Redden, you are the head housekeeper. You have to work with these women. Well, naturally, I want you to be pleased.
Well, I must say, Mr. Ortram, I don't quite know about taking a girl from the hotel laundry. You know, I believe in hiring gentlewomen.
Quite. But there are gentlewomen and gentlewomen. And Miss Powler has handled the whole laundry staff, 100 girls, and she's very capable as far as I've been able to see.
Well, sir, there's a bit of difference between handling laundry girls and handling guests.
Perhaps not so much as we would like to think.
Just as you say, sir, of course. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must go and see the maids have cleaned out 476.
476?
Yes, it's vacant now, and the reception's badly in need of it.
But that's Miss Gracie Savitt's room.
Oh, didn't you know, sir? Miss Savitt left the hotel to get the 9 o'clock boat train this morning. She's gone to Paris.
You see, Miss Paula, it all comes down to a question of human relations, your own.
Yes, sir. You mean at the laundry I'm used to being given into, and here I should have to give in.
Well, seem to give in. Say that a bedroom is cold because the guest hasn't had sense enough to turn on the radiator. So, you turn it on, you fiddle with it, and you say, yes, there was something wrong, but now you put it right. Then, just as you're leaving, you say, these radiators are rather peculiar. May I show you how to turn them on?
Are they peculiar?
No, not at all. But the guest thinks she's won. Put them in the right, they'll eat out of your hand. But if you argue, you're lost, and so's the hotel. Now, what about it?
I should like to try. I often have to do much the same with my laundry girls, yes. If I may say so, sir.
Oh, I think you may, yes. Very well. Well, I'll mention it to Mrs. O'Redden.
I'd be obliged, sir. I like working as a housekeeper.
Ever done it?
Well, sir, for a short time, at Sir Henry Savitt's house.
Sir Henry's?
Yes, sir. My sister was his housekeeper, and she fell ill, so I went there in her place for a month. Of course, she was there to ask if I needed help.
A large staff?
About 40, sir.
Had charge of everything?
Yes, sir.
You didn't give it as a reference when you came to the laundry?
Well, it was such a short engagement, sir, but I'm sure Sir Henry would give me a testimonial.
Then you know Miss Gracie?
Yes, sir. She was living in the house.
An extraordinary young lady, isn't she?
Yes, Mr. Orcham. Most extraordinary.
And now, Orcham, let's get down to business. I've absolutely nothing to conceal from you. If I tried, I know I shouldn't succeed. Oh, may I have another cigar?
Oh, please, Sir Henry.
As I say, I'm going to be perfectly open with you. That isn't always my way in financial dealings, but it's my way with you. You can appreciate frankness.
Well, Sir Henry?
I'll tell you something you possibly don't know. Let me mention a few hotels. For instance, the Majestic here in London, also the Duncannon, the Concorde and the Montaigne in Paris, the Minerva at Cannes, the Escurial in Madrid, the Botticini in San Remo, and the Albergo Umberto in Rome.
That is eight.
Eight. And what do you think of them?
Not a bad selection.
I control them. All eight. I have options to buy seven, and I've already bought one. Perhaps you can guess which.
The Majestic?
Right.
Not much profit, though.
Well, not on the hotel, but think of the real estate. It's appreciated by at least 60% in 15 years.
Quite, but they still haven't the sense to spend £15,000 and replace their worn-out carpets and curtains.
Well, I hadn't noticed.
Oh, you will the next time you go in there. Well, Sir Henry, so you have eight hotels, and you want nine.
I want the Imperial Palace, and I can't bring the Imperial Palace into this merger. I'll drop it. I'll clear out of hotels. I won't have anything to do with any second class. But I don't want to clear out.
Well?
The luxury hotel, as you've created it here, Orchard, seems to me one of the greatest things in our civilization. The age can be proud of it. Now I want a merger. I want nine luxury hotels, and I want them all first class. Splendid, gorgeous, something to sing about. You see?
Oh, Sir Henry. This mania for mergers. You know, it seems to me like the destroying of all individuality.
Oh, hang it all, man. What are you talking about? Look what it would do for your individuality. Spread it across the whole of Europe. Doesn't that mean anything to you?
It may or it may not. But in any case, my board of directors is very much against letting control of the palace pass out of our hands.
No, I'm afraid we are not interested.
Oh, I know all about that. I know how hard you've been trying to get a controlling interest behind your back, I have. And you've blocked me at every turn. I also know you're the director. And your board's in the palm of your hand.
We are certainly being frank.
Didn't I say I would be? I want the Imperial Palace and I want Mr. Evelyn Orcham. Without him, I wouldn't have it at any price. You are the Imperial Palace, Orcham.
Oh, but I'm afraid it isn't worth my while.
Why not?
Well, you see, Sir Henry, I'm very fond of the Imperial Palace. I'm content. I don't want anything else.
Ah, then you'll excuse me. I say you've got no right to be content. How old are you? Can't be 50.
No.
You made this place once. You might as well be. You can't make it again. Now, what do you do now? Sit down and fold your arms?
Oh, really? There isn't much sitting down and folding arms around this place, I can assure
you. Sorry, you must excuse me. Well, I'm just very keen on this. You must excuse me, really.
Not at all. A talk is a talk. Pray go on.
Well, one thing more. You say you're content here. I say you're wasting your talents. I say you're not justified in wasting them. There's a great deal needs doing in this world. Of course, luxury hotels aren't the be-all and end-all of life. But they're your field. They're what Evelyn Orcham can add to this world. And I call it a sinful waste if he doesn't do it. Ah, now I've talked enough. Think it over, Orcham. That's all I ask of you. Just think it over.
Right along there, miss, where the door's open.
Thank you. Oh, are you Violet Powler? I've been waiting for you.
I just got here. I'm looking for Mrs. O'Riordan, I think.
Well, my name's McLaren. I'm Mrs. O'Riordan's assistant. Oh, no, I've got to stop saying that. I'm head housekeeper.
But Mrs. O'Riordan?
Gone. Gone off. Left without a word.
Oh, dear.
Gone off to get married. 60 years old and she's gone off to get married. And here I am with the whole hotel on my hands. I've only got 5 minutes for you, Miss Powler.
Well, I'd be glad if you'd tell me what to do.
Well, it's very simple. Inspect all the rooms, check the bed linens, keep an eye on every chambermaid. Have you ever worked with maids?
Oh, yes.
Don't give them an inch, not an inch. They're supposed to be on duty at all past, at half past six, and you're to check on every morning or seventh and eighth room. Miss Prentice, she's on the 7th, and she takes the other mornings. Do you know your hours?
No, I haven't.
Well, you'll have half a day off a week, and every second weekend. When you start at 6:30, you finish at 9 a.m. Otherwise, you start at 9 in the morning and finish at midnight.
They're quite long hours.
Naturally. Now, you've got to be ready to go into every room on a moment's notice if there's any trouble. And you might as well check through the linen closet, first thing. And remember, fresh flowers in every room every morning. Oh, 918 wants a different armchair. I haven't got time to see to it. Now, you'd better get started at once, Miss Powler.
Yes, I guess I'd better.
All right, Orchard, now let's look on the bright side for a while.
Yeah, very well, Sir Henry.
We've been haggling for 3 hours. Now, let's see how far we've got. Your proposed salary as managing director is settled?
It is.
You have reason to be satisfied with it, I think?
Quite.
And the constitution of the first Orchard Board of Directors is agreed? Your way?
My way. I refuse to be chairman of your board, Sir Henry, as I have work to do.
Now, the next point. I agree that my valuations of the Majestic and the Duncannon Hotels are to be approved by your valuers.
Good.
You agree to make a tour at once of all the hotels. The whole thing is dependent on your being satisfied.
Well, it's quite a sacrifice for me to leave my comforts here, but go on. Now, the capital.
The capital is underwritten by 3 houses, as I told you. I shall produce my contracts with them as soon as possible.
Good.
Then I fancy that's all.
Oh, no, Sir Henry. It is not.
All but the most important point, of course, we return to the price to be paid for the Imperial Palace shares.
Yes.
Mine is £2.10. Now, what about it?
Not enough.
Well, no, really, Orchard, you mustn't make it too difficult for your new company to pay a dividend.
Well, I've got to think about my shareholders. Now, Sir Henry, if you consider this price of mine
too
high... Well, then you've only to say so. The whole plan is on the scrap heap.
But your valuations of your property are out of line.
Valuations? What about our reserves? What about our gilt-edged bonds?
I'm not forgetting them.
But you are forgetting something. You're forgetting that you are trying to buy something that can't be bought.
The name and prestige of the palace.
Yes.
I was the first to admit it, wasn't I?
Then we can name our price, and the merger can pay it. Our price is £2.15.
That's your lowest?
Our lowest.
Well, I'm sorry. My last word is £2.10. Give me a moment to get my papers together. I won't trouble you anymore. I'm disappointed, Orchard, I admit it, but I'll tell you one thing. I shall go ahead with my merger, palace or no palace. I'll carry it through and I'll give you the fight of your life. There must be another Evelyn Orchard somewhere in the world, and I'll find him. Good afternoon, Orchard.
Good afternoon, Sir Henry.
I suspect I shall be leaving for the continent in a day or two. Very pleasant seeing you. Orchard.
Yes?
Split the difference.
You're a great man, Sir Henry. This whole thing's been an act, hasn't it? You've staged this walking out to give me time for regrets.
I admit nothing. Split the difference.
I have regretted, Sir Henry. It's a deal.
Good man, Orchard. I knew you'd come through.
Yes, and I never felt so gone in the stomach as at this moment. Sir Henry, if I'm equal to the job...
No qualms, Orchard. No fears. Together we shall conquer the world.
Take the opportunity to tell you, Mr. Orchard, what a jewel, what a treasure you found in Miss Paula.
Paula? Oh, yes, a little housekeeper. Mm-hmm. Doing well, is she?
Well, there's hardly a visitor on the 8th floor who's not felt compelled to tell me personally of the wonders of the little Paula.
Well, that's good news.
Ah, but there is other good news. Monsieur Cheria in the grill room. He has succeeded in importing the fish from Italy.
Oh.
That will arrive fresh every day by plane. It will make excellent publicity, yes?
Yes, cousin, but I'm afraid these joys and sorrows are all going to be on your shoulders for a while. Oh. I have got to leave for the continent immediately.
Indeed?
Yes, it seems I'm compelled to have a look at continental hotels and turn them into Orchard hotels.
It is unbelievable. You mean that Sir Henry...
Yes, cousin. I've done it. Imperial Palace is sold.
From Hollywood, the NBC Theater is bringing you a dramatization of Imperial Palace by Arnold Bennett. If you're interested in supplementing your enjoyment of these NBC Theater productions with home study under college supervision, Be sure to listen to the announcement at the close of this program. And now, our intermission commentator, the widely known novelist and radio personality, Mr. James Hilton.
Of the great English writers of the first half of the 20th century, Arnold Bennett is probably nowadays the least read and the least esteemed, partly because his finest work was written in a realist tradition which is unfashionable today, partly also because he wrote a great quantity of admitted potboilers. Bennett continually built up the world's impression of him as a downright, mundane, commonsensical sort of person. Actually, this was something of a pose to disguise the shyness of an accomplished literary artist born of a middle-class family in an English industrial town, a man who came to achieve great worldly success and was never quite able to conquer his own amazement at having done so. For this reason, perhaps, the trappings of wealth always fascinated him, and of all 20th century institutions, the modern Hotel de Luxe, with its complex of snobisms and gadgets, with its two worlds of masters and servants in delicate equilibrium, seemed to him not only a magnificent microcosm of the world itself, but suitable material for a long novel which he would enjoy writing. So he wrote it round about that crucial year 1929 and called it Imperial Palace. It is not his best novel, but it's a good one, as well as the last major piece of work he did. And it's readable by us today not only for itself, but for what Bennett meant it to be. The luxury hotel, he writes, seems to me the most characteristic of all modern creations. It stands for the age just as much as the pyramids did for Egypt. Our age can be proud of it. It's marvelous, and there never was anything like it before. How far did Bennett stand in merely fascinated wonder before his imperial palace? And how far was he aware of deeper undertones, of the peril that within a few years of his death in 1931... was to overtake the age of which he considered Imperial Palace a fitting representative, of the impermanence and weakness which was to be revealed so soon in so many other modern creations. In this sense, his mention of the pyramids pointed a contrast even more than a comparison. Yet it is perhaps unwise to press the story into a mold of too much meaning. Arnold Bennett was among the least symbolist of writers. His Imperial Palace was certainly no great white whale. But it's interesting that a subplot in the novel concerns a great liner, a sort of imperial palace afloat, which develops in mid-ocean a structural crack which everybody connected with the shipping line is at pains to conceal and make light of. Here, too, whether it was intended or not, is a symbol of unease that might well have stood for the world that Arnold Bennett survived into, a world that knew in its bones that something dreadful was going to happen to it, and that in the final ordeal, all its luxury, together with all its ingenious snobisms and gadgets, would have no power to come to the rescue.
Thank you, Mr. Hilton. Our radio version of Imperial Palace will continue from Hollywood after a brief pause for station identification.
Now, mon cher directeur, we continue with the arrangements, yes?
My dear Luigi, I should find it much easier to look over the Hotel Concorde's books if you people wrote your fives and sevens like anything in the history of British arithmetic.
These little differences in two great nations, they are not of importance, yes?
Oh, I suppose not now, but what is this item right here, Luigi?
Huh? Oh, I cannot quite tell, but I am certain, Monsieur Orcham, that everything is in the best of order. Pardon. Hello? Ah, oui. Un moment. It is for you, mon cher directeur.
For me? Who on earth? Oh, excuse me, will you? Hello?
Hello there, Mr. Orcham. This is Gracie Savage. I've had the deuce of a time finding you.
I've been very busy.
Shall you be busy tonight?
Yes, I shall.
How late?
I can't say.
Well, then get out of it.
Oh, I'm afraid that is impossible.
Shall we say 10:30?
I might try.
Why are you so cross?
Oh, I'm not at all cross.
Well, you're very stiff with me. Why?
Well, where are you?
In a call box.
Well, you see, I am not. You understand?
Oh, yes, of course. You mean you're not alone. Now, about tonight, where can we meet? Oh, you know the Ruskri?
Yes.
I'll be there in a car on the opera side. 10:30.
Very well.
Who's with you?
The director.
Oh, of the Concorde?
Precisely.
Oh, Monsieur Logier, isn't he a dear? Give him my love.
I shall. Goodbye. A thousand pardons, Monsieur Logier.
Oh, de rien. I beg you not to think of it.
And she sends you her love, Miss...
Mademoiselle Gracie, huh? Did I not recognize her voice?
Yes.
Ah, la belle créature, n'est-ce pas?
Oh, parfaitement. Eh bien, mon cher directeur...
Eh bien, mon cher directeur, revenons à nos moutons, hein?
Bonsoir, monsieur, madame. Par ici, s'il vous plaît.
I've never been in the Caligula before. Have you?
Hardly.
It's just about what I'd expect. I've heard a lot about it from painters and Argentines and so on. Oh, father should see me now, in the Rue Picale.
Your father never seems to know where you are.
Oh, he cares, though. But he leaves me alone.
Monsieur Désir,
ce que vous avez du mieux.
Très bien. Merci, monsieur.
Mm. It's very amusing here.
Yes, really?
You know, you are being distant.
Oh, not in the least.
Oh, Evelyn, this is marvelous.
Quite.
Will you kindly come out of that refrigerator? You know, there is something I want to tell you if you'll listen.
Very well, I'm listening.
I was frightfully rude to you when you wouldn't come to my party. The other evening at the palace, I mean. Oh, I was dying for you to come, and yet... Well, I would have been disappointed if you had. Can you understand that?
To the extent that any man understands a female mind.
And I didn't go flying off the next morning because I was in a temper with you. You thought that was the reason, didn't you?
I'm not so conceited.
Oh, do let's be frank. Didn't you think so honestly?
Yes.
Well... You were wrong. I went off because I was afraid of you. And I've been missing you ever since. But tonight... tonight I am not afraid of you.
Gracie, please don't.
Oh, but I want to. I feel so very close to you. And I think you're wonderful.
It seems to me that you said that before.
And I'll say it again. You're so wonderful with your hotels. Daddy says so time and again, and he knows. And I, well, I just think you're wonderful. I'm absolutely nothing next to you.
Why are you telling me all this?
Only because I should hate to deceive you. I know I'm nothing, and I'm not going to make any excuses for myself. No, please don't say anything. I know you're thinking, girls don't talk as I'm talking. Well, I'm not girls, I'm me. That's all there is to it.
Well, you said not to say anything, but I shall speak if I like. And I shall say anything that I like. You're miraculous, darling.
Voilà, monsieur. Le caviar, le champagne, tout est parfait.
Hello.
Hello. Were you asleep?
Of course I was asleep. What time is it?
It's 7:30. Oh, I hope I haven't disturbed you too early.
You're a day and a half late in disturbing me, my dear. You said you'd ring me yesterday at lunchtime, or was I dreaming?
Oh, well, I couldn't. I rang you up now because I knew I'd have to do it the minute I woke up, or I'd never do it. So I did.
Well, you're just in time. I'm taking the boat train for London today, and I've got to pack.
Oh, Evelyn.
Oh, thank you for waking me up.
Oh, Evelyn, you can't. You can't go today.
Well, of course I can. Why can't I?
Oh, because I must see you.
Oh? Anything wrong?
Well, I don't know, but... Oh, Evelyn, I must see you.
I must go back to London, dear.
Oh, now, listen, dear. You can take the 4:00 train. You can pack your things and bring them over to my flat, and I'll take you to the station.
Oh, but look, I've got a thousand things to...
Oh, you couldn't do that much for me. 12 o'clock for lunch, and I simply won't take no.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, that girl.
Well, you would go running through the Louvre. By Jove, I should just make my train.
Oh, you've plenty of time. We'll have some tea. I'll make some. How do you like my flat? Isn't it lovely and vulgar?
Yes, it's no exaggeration to call it vulgar.
I adore it because it's so awful. Look at all that gilt paint. I'm so tired of expensive respectability.
You are the strangest girl I've ever met. Oh, my dear, I really must go look.
Oh, no, you don't. You sit down now. I want you to listen.
I suppose you're going to tell me again about how you're nothing.
Oh, just listen. I swore I'd tell you when I shall. I'm in a terrible mess, Evelyn.
Oh?
I don't expect you to help me, but if you can't help me, well, no one can.
Good heavens, what now? What is it, dear?
I'm too fond of you, my darling. Oh, you should see your face. What are you thinking?
I suppose I'm wondering what on earth there is in me to attract you.
I've tried my best to keep my mind off you. I hoped I wouldn't ring you up today, and then I had to. And now I know I oughtn't to be saying these things, and yet I have to.
Oh, Gracie, but...
No, don't say anything. I know I've put you in a terribly awkward position.
Oh, no.
No, not a word, darling. Perhaps we'll talk about it tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow. I'm forgetting about your train this afternoon.
It isn't my train. It's just a train. It leaves Paris day after day, every afternoon at 4 o'clock. Gracie, come here.
What?
I said, come here.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, darling, yes. You know, I didn't sleep at all last night.
Nor I.
Truly?
Mm-hmm.
Then we were both lying awake. Were you glad when I rang you up and took you away from old Auger?
Yes. How pale you are.
I didn't put any rouge on. I wanted to look pale. Was it wrong of me?
No.
And you noticed?
Of course.
I look very pale.
Yes.
And have you been feeling sorry for me?
Yes.
Because you thought I was pining away for you?
Oh, no.
I'm glad. That would have been awful. Why then?
Oh, because you look so tired.
Oh, I was, but I'm not now. And you?
Not a bit. What time is it?
It's after 4.
Well, there goes the train that wasn't mine. Well, you know, I expect I'd better phone the Concorde and get my own room back.
Evelyn.
Yes, darling?
Oh, darling, you're not thinking of leaving me here tonight, all by myself?
Evelyn, is that you?
Yes, darling, what is it?
Oh, where have you been? I woke up and found you gone. Why didn't you wake me?
Oh, you look too beautiful asleep.
But why did you go out?
Oh, just to walk. It's a lovely morning.
You don't sound it. What's wrong?
I happened to see this paper.
Oh? What of it?
The Board of Licensing Commissioners is sitting in London on Wednesday, and that is bad news, darling.
Why? What have you got to do with them?
Well, I've been leading the fight to get some of these licensing laws changed, and I have got to be at that meeting.
I'd no idea they'd start so soon. I've got to leave Paris tomorrow.
Oh, nonsense. Mm. You needn't worry about the first day, or even the first week, for that matter. Daddy's been at lots of the commission meetings. They never do anything for a month.
All the same, I shall have to leave tomorrow morning.
Oh, Evelyn. Evelyn, would you leave me alone for an old commission?
Oh, darling, you know how I hate to do it. Now, listen, I'll run over to the Concord at once.
Oh, what for?
To telephone London. I should have called the place last night to tell them that I wasn't arriving. Now, look, I'll get the call through much quicker from the hotel.
I'll put your old call through and you'll see how quickly you'll get it. Oh, Evelyn. Evelyn, I say you're not going. Well?
Been calling all over Paris for me, I knew it.
But what about your old commission?
Ah, we're in luck, darling, the commission. The chairman's caught a chill.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, and it's all postponed a week.
There, what did I tell you? Oh, now, darling, just forget about your old hotels. Think about me for a while.
If my staff could see me now, loaded with parcels from tagging after a woman in a department store.
Oh, they'd love you for it. Come on, put everything down here. There. Now what should we do?
Well, if you've got a brush, I know what I'm going to do. With no valet here, I've got to get after some of those clothes in my suitcases.
Oh, all right, darling, you do that. And I'll watch you. It'll be just like a home. A nice little home.
Yes.
Evelyn, should you like us to get married?
Oh, yes, my darling, you know I should.
You don't love me, you know.
You liar.
You don't even know what the word means.
My dear, I'm a very learned man.
Oh, Evelyn, listen. I'm going to tell you something, and you know it's true. There's a kind of chasm between us, and it's because you're everything to me, and I'm not everything to you.
Oh, but you're so wrong.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, darling, don't stop me. Evelyn, I've been so terribly happy, but I've been happy in my own love, not yours. It isn't nice of me to say that, and I ought to be nice to you. I really ought.
Then marry me.
That wouldn't be nice. Oh, now and then I felt like sticking at nothing to keep you, but it would be so hard. You went out this morning. You couldn't even wait for me to wake up. You were so anxious for something outside of me. And then that newspaper and the licensing commission, and you would have gone off to London and left me all by myself.
Oh, darling, all this is perfect nonsense. You know that I couldn't have helped going to London. It was only a lucky chance I didn't have to.
No, it wasn't a chance. It was a sign. It showed me how you really feel. This licensing business, it's the most important thing on earth for you.
Oh, not at all, but you know, well, a man has to look facts in the face.
I am. And the fact is that you think you're indispensable in London.
Oh, no.
And yet if you were ill, everything would go right on without you. It's here that you're indispensable. You would have run off to London to argue with MPs about whiskey.
Oh, but my dearest, now please, look, if you'd just use a little teeny bit of common sense.
And I suppose you think common sense is the law of life. Well, it isn't, Evelyn. Oh, you could have arranged to give us a few days, a week, but you couldn't keep your licenses waiting. No, not even for one hour.
Oh, look here, Gracie.
Oh, I don't blame you. I blame myself. I laid a bet and I've lost it. You love one way and I love another. And I could only live with a man who understands love my way. Your way would kill me.
Stop this nonsense, darling, and come here and kiss me.
All right. For goodbye.
Goodbye?
You think I can't say goodbye, don't you? Well, the truth is you're conceited. You are always conceited, and I've made you more so. You show it the whole time.
Come here. Please.
Yes, there you are again. I'm in love with you, so I'm to be your slave. I'm to come running whenever you beckon.
You say you're in love with me? I'm in love with you.
So you say.
But I am, darling.
Oh, yes, you're so sure. But this morning you were ready to leave me because of something you'd seen in a newspaper.
Well?
Supposing they telephoned you tonight that you were wanted in London tomorrow. Would you go?
Yes.
Yes, of course you would. And glad to. Men get tired of girls who are fools enough to let on that they're in love.
Oh, it's you who are being foolish now, darling. Listen, a man can love a girl passionately.
Oh, you don't know what love is. You take everything for granted like all men. I may be an idiot, but I'd sooner be an idiot than a conceited ass like you.
Well, if that's the way it is, I had better go.
Yes, yes, go on, get out of here.
I'll tell you what I think of all your arguments and all your fine phrases, only, well, they're not worth the trouble.
Go on, get out of here.
I'm going. Darling, oh, Gracie, darling, my sweet, don't cry. I'll never leave you again, never, my sweet. But, Gracie, I don't understand.
Hurry,
this.
Darling, the train's going to start.
I hate all this rush.
And you are not rushing, darling.
No, yesterday you were furious because I was thinking of leaving, and here you are. You are fairly shoving me onto the train.
I won't have you staying on my account. It would ruin everything. There. Now, you see, you said you wanted to leave today, and you are leaving today. Everything's wonderful.
No, it's not wonderful.
Goodbye, darling. Go on, get on the train. I'll write you.
Any letters for me, Miss Cass?
No new ones, Mr. Orcham. You asked me that 5 minutes ago.
Did I?
The Works Department wants to know if they can buy a new day bed for $4.25. And Rufo wants you to look over the menus for Sir Malcolm's dinner. And engineering called and wants... Mr. Orcham.
Yes, Miss Cass, yes. I won't see anyone else today. I'm going out for a walk.
A walk, Mr. Orcham? In the middle of the afternoon? Certainly, sir.
Can I do anything for you, Mr. Orcham?
No, Ryan. I'm just going out to send a cable.
A cable, sir? I'll be glad to phone it in for you.
No, I'm going out.
I could send a boy, sir.
I said I'm going out. Suppose I can leave my own hotel to send a cable. Or have you any objection?
I say, Orcham, you're pretty friendly with Gracie, aren't you?
Yes, Sir Henry. I would say that we were very good friends.
Amazing girl. Mm-hmm. Never know what she's going to do next. I've got a cable, doesn't say anything definite, but I've a notion she's going to get herself married. A fellow by the name of Leo Cheddar.
Married?
Yes, I've met him once or twice. Seems quite a sort to me. I should rather like it. It's about time Gracie got married.
Really? Well, Sir Henry, if it suits both you and her, I'm glad.
Dear Evelyn, you will understand. I'm deep in grief. There is no point in saying it all over again. Perhaps you do love me, but not in my way. I love you. I shall kill myself. Don't ask me to apologize. You'll forget me. Goodbye. Gracie. Oh, sit down, will you, Miss Parlour?
Certainly, sir.
While I was away, Miss Parlour, Mr. Cousin made you head housekeeper on the supposition that you had good sense.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Orchard.
Dr. Constant informs me that 2 days ago he sent you to bed because you've been working too hard and told you to stay there 1 week. Now, is that true?
Yes, sir.
And yet today I find you up doing your work as usual. Now, we don't keep a doctor for him to be defied, you know. The first duty of every person on my staff is to keep healthy.
Mr. Orchard, I should think I'm the one to know whether I'm well enough to work or not. I'm feeling much better and I have work to do. You're trying to put me in the wrong.
But you could have sent for the doctor to ask him if you could get up.
He mightn't have been able to come.
Did you ask?
No.
Well, then.
I think you're making a fuss over nothing, Mr. Orcham. I'm only doing the best I can here.
Quite so. The best you can. But occasionally, you might be able to do and use a little more tact in your work, Miss Parlour. The matter of Miss Venable's resigning, for instance, you might have prevented that.
Miss Venable resigned because she was jealous when I was made head. Is that my fault?
Well, you ought to be able to deal with such an ordinary little thing as jealousy. It's part of your job.
Mr. Orcham, I think you're being unfair. I'm sure I don't know what the trouble is, sir, but whatever it is, you've no right to take it out on me.
Young woman, will you please control yourself?
I'm speaking the truth. I'm being perfectly honest. I say it's unfair, but it's more than that. It's frightful. That's what it is.
Miss Powler, would you oblige me by leaving the room?
I certainly will. And please take my notice to leave.
Please sit down.
I will not.
Sit down. Thank you. Now, Miss Powler, people like you and me, we don't behave in this style. It isn't worthy of us. And you're really not going to give me notice all in a minute over nothing. Now, I'd like to suggest to you to withdraw your notice and forget this.
Very well. I withdraw my notice. I'll stay on. I'll do my best for the hotel. But things can never be the same between us again. Good afternoon, Mr. Orcham.
Good morning, Mr. Orcham.
Good morning, Molum.
You're very early, sir. It's not 4 o'clock. Mr. Craddock's not even here yet, sir.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I'll prowl about.
if I may say so, Mr. Orcham, you should try to get a bit more sleep, sir. We've been looking tired lately.
Oh, I shall do all right, thanks. How's the sciatica, Molum?
Better, sir. Oh, good morning, Miss Powler.
Good morning, Molum.
Good morning, Miss Powler.
Good morning, sir.
Are you always downstairs so early?
This is one of my early mornings, sir. I like to look about the ground floor before the cleaners arrive. Afterwards, it's too late. And then, sometimes...
Yes?
Sometimes I just walk about the floors most of the night. You may think this very strange, sir, but sometimes I feel as though I'd like to watch over the hotel.
While it's asleep?
Yes, sir.
That's what I did. All last night.
You won't be doing that for long, sir. You won't be having much to do with the palace from now on.
Oh, but that's not true. Whether I have 9 hotels or 90, the palace is my child. I shall never desert it.
Will you let me order some tea for you, sir?
Oh, no, thank you. Not now.
I thought that you haven't looked too well, sir, for 3 months, ever since you returned from Paris.
Everyone seems to have a comment about the way I look. But I rather thought that you weren't noticing, Miss Parlour.
You mean because we had a disagreement?
Yes.
Oh, but I have, sir.
Well, please don't worry. I'm really quite well.
I wondered, Mr. Orcham, what you planned to do about that trouble at the Hotel Duncannon.
Oh, Mrs. Willingford walking out. Well, I shall have to do something, and soon. Oh, cuss the woman, anyway.
I suppose, sir, it was because the hotel was sold into the merger, because her husband isn't director anymore.
Yes, Sir Henry Savitt would say it's all part of bigger and better business. I can't quite see things that way. And besides, you know, it leaves us without a housekeeper over there.
I imagine they're all in a state. No one will know quite what they're doing.
Exactly. They only had one under-housekeeper, and if I know anything about Mrs. Willingford's ways, that under-housekeeper never has been allowed 1 ounce of responsibility. Well, what about the housekeeping?
I suppose, sir, you wouldn't care for me to go over.
What?
And leave us to go to rack and ruin here?
I mean, sir, for an hour or two a day, until you know where you are.
But you can't do both.
Why not? Palace can run by itself for a while, and I could be here a bit in the afternoons.
But you don't know anything about the Duncannon.
I know a deal more about it than I did about the palace when I was put in charge here.
How soon could you go?
This minute, before visitors are up. I can have everything put to rights.
Do you know what you are, Miss Fowler? You're the willing horse. You know what happens to the willing horse? Oh, you'd better look out for yourself.
That's all right. I've noticed that things get into a muddle, but they're soon straightened out and forgotten. It happens often.
And there are some women who look for ways to make trouble, Miss Paula. And there are some women who look for trouble that they can smooth it over. I'm very thankful that I finally met one of the latter. My dear friends, ladies and gentlemen, there will be no speeches. I only want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for this supper tonight. I shan't forget it as long as I live. Thank you. You know, cousin, I feel like the prize ox at the fair.
Oh, my dear Mr. Rocham, you'd have broken the hearts of your department heads if you hadn't consented to this gathering. Everyone wants to honor you for the brilliant success of your merger.
Well, it's magnificent. Planquet, this is the greatest feast you ever prepared.
You will dance, my dear Rocham.
Well, yes, if I must. But look, there are only four girls to 24 men. Who ought I to dance with first?
With Miss Paula, of course. She is the most important. The others, they do not count.
You're quite right, cousin. You're quite right. Miss Paula. Yes. She is the most important.
You have been listening to Imperial Palace, an NBC Theater production of the novel by Arnold Bennett. If you wish to increase your knowledge and appreciation of literature, we suggest that you might enjoy the college-supervised courses now being offered in connection with the NBC Theater. For full information, write to NBC Theater in care of one of the following universities or colleges: the University of Louisville, Louisville, Kentucky; the University of Tulsa, Tulsa, Oklahoma; Kansas State Teachers College, Pittsburgh, Kansas; Washington State College, Pullman, Washington; the University of Arizona, Tucson, Arizona; Texas College of Arts and Industries, Kingsville, Texas; and Brooklyn College, Brooklyn, New York. You also have a chance to win a set of the famous Encyclopedia Britannica. Several of the universities and colleges offering these courses are giving the Encyclopedia as prizes to the students doing the best work. Enroll in a supervised course, and you may be one of the fortunate ones to win the Encyclopedia Britannica. Be with us at the NBC Theater next week for a dramatization of H.M. Tomlinson's Galleon's Reach, and the following week for a new adaptation of the fine American play Porgy by Dorothy and DuBois Hayward. Imperial Palace was adapted for the NBC Theater by Clarice A. Ross. Our intermission commentator was James Hilton, whose commentary was recorded. In today's cast, Marion Richman was Miss Cass. Ramsey Hill was Orcham. Gray Stafford was Ryer. Donald Morrison was Mollum. Crawford Kent was Sir Henry. Constance Cavendish was Gracie. John Dodsworth was Mr. Cousin. Monty Margetts was Violet. Doris Lloyd was Miss McLaren. And Fritz Feld was Logier. Your announcer, Don Stanley. The director of the NBC Theater is Andrew C. Love. This program came to you from Hollywood. What's on NBC today? Today, stay tuned here for comedy by Phil Harris and Alice Faye, mystery by Sam Spade, and drama by Sterling Holloway and Lee Bowman. Holloway and Bowman will co-star in the Theater Guild On the Air presentation of Minnick. Keep tuned to this NBC station for the best of Sunday radio entertainment. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.